Welcome to Coach Me, the podcast for women who want more. More clarity, more confidence, more you. We're Tanu and Catherine, friends, working moms, businesswomen, and real-life coaching buddies.
Each week, we cut the BS and bring you insights, tools, and truth bombs that help you show up stronger at work, at home, and in life. If we can coach each other through the chaos,
we can coach you too.
Welcome back to episode 2 of Coach Me. Make sure to share this episode with someone who does it all. And if you got this episode forwarded to you, it might be a sign. Someone cares about you and knows you need to hear this. And if you're nodding along already, send us your Coach Me question. We love hearing from you, and we just might tackle it in an upcoming episode. This week, the topic is overwhelm, something that affects all of us. Let's kick it off with a real talk check-in. Kathy, can you share a moment where you felt really overwhelmed recently?
Oh, well, Tanu, honestly, overwhelm doesn't even start to describe it. There's been a wave of structural changes at my work, and that always comes with huge amounts of uncertainty, right? It's the same for a lot of companies at the moment, everywhere, it seems. So I'm sure our audience will feel the same way. This kind of stuff is emotionally draining, to say the least. Trying to stay motivated in the middle of chaos, it takes a lot of energy. And there's been that cocktail of like fear, exhaustion, and that constant buzz of stress that keeps your cortisol up as well. It's not the kind of cocktail I would normally go for. But what hit me the hardest was hearing colleagues when they say things like, oh my God, all my hard work and all my dedication was just for nothing. You know, this kind of reality check really hitting them. And I get it. When we tie so much of our identity to our jobs, those kind of shakeups, they feel deeply personal. It's like a loss of self. It's a loss of your identity, basically. And it makes us question if we should have spent more time and being with our kids, being present rather than chasing deadlines and climbing that career ladder. Sometimes we end up really regretting putting work first in those moments, isn't it? It's like maturing in the workplace, that moment when you realize work isn't everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
In those moments, what I always say is, you know, nobody gives you a medal for burning yourself out. There's no award waiting for you for missing those key moments in your life for work. And we all know that. But we have to remember that we can give everything to a job and still be replaceable. It's a tough lesson that I had to learn as well. But what really helps me now is that I try to remember that I have to live in alignment with my values and not just my title. I feel like we have to go back into that space of having a private life still and not giving up everything for a job.
Yeah, Kathy, what you shared is something I see all the time. It resonates so well. I mean, ambitious women especially, we just normalize burnout. And somewhere along the line, we start treating overwhelm like a rite of passage. Like if you're not constantly maxed out, maybe you're not trying hard enough. But you see, overwhelm isn't a badge of honor. It's more of a warning light, a symptom, right? And there's solid science to back it up. There's studies from American Psychological Association that show that women are significantly more likely to report physical and emotional symptoms of stress. Things like fatigue, irritability, headaches, and disrupted sleep. But instead of pulling back, many of us push even harder because we've been socially conditioned to link our worth to our productivity. So from a brain science perspective, when we are overwhelmed, we're living in what's called a state of chronic stress activation. The part of the brain that's called amygdala, it's responsible for threat detection. That part just goes into overdrive. And at the same time, the prefrontal cortex, which helps us make decisions or think in long term and regulate emotions, that part actually shuts down. So even though we're doing more, we're not really doing it well. And the kicker is that cortisol, the main stress hormone of our body, that gets stuck in a loop. Cortisol was designed for short bursts of survival and not 10-hour work days and toddler meltdowns, inbox fires, and self-imposed pressure to do it all. So over time, elevated cortisol levels are linked to everything from brain fog to heart disease. And this is something to be very, very careful of.
That is a short lesson in biology. I love that.
And psychology.
I mean, there is so much connection between our physical systems and our mental health, right? We're not made for that constant overwhelm. We are not just overwhelmed at work. It's family, maybe finances, health, people we care for, friendships, other troubles, dramas, stresses. That can all lead to overwhelm at different times and can pop up here and there. And sometimes it all comes up together. So like you said, if we leave that unchecked, it does something to our bodies. It does burn us from the inside. It really does make us sick. And as a full-time working single mom, I have really lived that chaos. I mean, I have been more than overwhelmed. And I've really hit that point where I had nothing more to give, not even to myself. And I realized that I wasn't alone on this destructive path. But I also realized that I had a choice. So there was a study from The Guardian that I read at the time that showed that over 80% of women felt overwhelmed and unable to cope. And that's not just shocking to read 80%. That's
wow.
Like the majority of women basically feel like that. But it's not just shocking, but it's unacceptable. So I made it my mission to reduce that number because I think there are remedies for overwhelm. I think we have to come up with ways to reduce that overwhelm at scale. I want to reach as many women as possible. And so I created Chaos to Clarity, which is a 3-step online course designed for busy women like you and me. And the course is not about eliminating overwhelm completely, because that's just unrealistic and puts another pressure on ourselves. But it's about learning how to manage it. With this course, I want to give women practical tools and mindset shifts and ways to rebuild their energy and their confidence and find that spark again. And I've structured the course so it's doable. It's a step at a time. We have to do something. And I think it starts with women like us to try and reach people and help them.
That's so wonderful, Kathy. And obviously having lived through that chaos and have gotten to a place where you have that clarity. From what I know about your course, it really gives the practical tools and things that are really doable. I'm very, very excited for you to put it out there and help as many women as possible and really make an impact with your course.
Yeah, hopefully. Thank you.
Now let's switch things up. Here's our insight of the week. Have you heard this saying? When you say yes to everything, you're saying no to your priorities. What's your instant reaction to that?
Oh God, absolutely. When I realized the things that actually mattered to me kept slipping through the cracks, they kept shifting down on the priority list because I just wanted to help everyone else. And you get onto this autopilot, and saying no at the same time felt really uncomfortable. It felt like I'm being selfish. But the truth really is, every no I say now is a yes to myself and to my health, to the life I want to live and build, and to my daughter, who is my priority. And that's, I think, where the clarity sets in, that I'm allowed to say no. And when I say no, I don't just say no to annoy someone or because I don't like them. It's because I like myself more. And I want to spend my time being in control of my life. And like, I want to do things that I enjoy that give me something back. And it's not always that easy. We can't always make that choice, but I want to live life on my terms as much as I can. And the moment this insight hit me was through my alternative practitioner. It was right after my divorce. I came to him. I was drained. I was tired. I couldn't sleep. I was not feeling well, all this kind of stuff. And he leaned over to me and he said, you know, a loud no to others is a quiet yes to yourself. And he just said it out of the blue. It brought me to tears because I didn't give myself that permission. I was so overwhelmed at the time when he said that. I didn't even think it was an option to say no. If you are just trying to
do everything and get through the list, get through the chores, get through all these to-dos, do everything what everyone is expecting from you, you get into this external validation cycle. I was at a point I didn't even realize I can put a stop to that. I can give myself the permission to look after me, to do what I enjoy. And I think it's really crucial. We have to realize we have to give ourselves that permission again. It's the first step. If we want to be ourselves and live authentically and unapologetically, we have to give ourselves the permission to say no.
Wow, that was really profound. The thing you say about the permission, we don't realize so much of this battle is internal, right? We always think of external validation as being the biggest culprit, but the fact that you said giving ourselves the permission, that's where it all starts and ends pretty much. If we say that yes to ourselves, saying no to someone else and creating that boundary becomes much easier.
We have values, we have an identity, and we have priorities. And that automatically helps us to set those boundaries, right? And to not forget about them.
Oh, yes. I hear you loud and clear. That is a perfect segue to our next segment. Quote that shook us. We need to remind ourselves and our listeners about aligning priorities with values, but also prioritizing rest. Resting is a big part of being productive. Without breaks, we burn ourselves out. So I'm going to start with a quote that stayed with me for years. And honestly, it keeps resurfacing every time I edge towards burnout. It's this one by Henry David Thoreau. Here's how it goes. The price of anything is the amount of life you exchange for it. It's not new. I came across it after I had a big burnout episode in my last job. I had given it my sweat and blood and realized I wasn't just trading time, I was trading life force. I was a new mom. There was so much going on, but I was prioritizing everything that was expected out of me at that job. My presence, my energy, the quiet moments I'll never get back, that was the thing that I was trading, not just my time. And when you start thinking about decisions through that lens, it changes how you show up. You realize not everything deserves that kind of exchange, you know?
How is it that we have to be pushed into the furthest corner to activate our self-protection? And, you know, you've been telling these stories about regret, about burnout, about hitting those low energy zones. I am 100% sure our listeners can, each one can at least tell one story where they hit the lowest low, where they wish they could go back now and hug themselves and be like, come on, be brave, say no. How is it that we have to be pushed so far to enable our self-protection? I'm so with you on all of this. Everything you said, experiencing burnout and then realize how we set our priorities all wrong. It's a life-changing experience. And maybe that is a rite of passage to brush so close by it. But we need a fundamental change. How we structure our time and be very clear about our priorities in life. If we don't do that, someone else will do that on our behalf, be it a boss or be it a needy neighbor or partner or whatever. Like, someone will overstep our boundaries until we set them more clearly, right? And I read this quote once that said, taking a break is part of the process. And that generally changed how I work and live now. Maybe I have undiagnosed ADHD or I'm just a classic overwhelmed working mom, but I've started using ADHD-friendly prompts in ChatGPT to structure my day. And what I love is that they just bake in rest and rewards. So you have tea break or like these little dopamine raises baked into it. And it's not a luxury. It's not like now reward yourself, but it is a strategy to not burn yourself out. You have active breaks. I have my dog walks baked in there. I have flexible admin time put in there where I can just decide what I will do. So it's not so rigid and so hard on me and this to-do list that never ends, but it's in line with not getting into burnout, not going down that path. So that quote really gave me something that I didn't know I needed. The permission to pause, the permission to say no, the permission to take these breaks. Because we don't have to power through. We don't have to burn ourselves out to get to the goal. I now truly believe that rest makes us more productive. rest is the fuel to be productive.
And now switching gears again slightly into a real life coach me moment. There is a question that keeps coming up in our work with our clients because we talk about boundaries a lot and about setting boundaries effectively. So the question that landed with us from one of our listeners is, can you please help me set boundaries at work without looking lazy? Please coach me. And Tanu, I think this is a perfect one for you to take. Do you want to have a go at this one?
Yes. You know, this actually came up in one of my coaching sessions just last week. So my client said something like, I'm worried about how it'll look to them. I don't want them to think I'm slacking. And wow, the weight behind that statement. So many ambitious women that are wrestling with this kind of thought process, especially in fast-paced environments where overworking has become the norm. So she was already stretched thin. She was working late. She was skipping breaks, saying yes to everything, responding in like 2 seconds of getting any messages. And yet she still felt like she had to prove her worth by being constantly available. When we unpacked it, we found that underneath the fear of looking lazy was a deeper belief. And the belief was that if I don't do it all, I'm not enough. So here's an insight that I shared with her. Boundaries aren't barriers. They're actually something that leads to clarity. So we reframed the conversation she needed to have with her coworkers and manager. Instead of saying, I can't, she practiced saying, here's everything on my plate right now. Can we prioritize what's more critical? But before saying anything to someone else, she started asking, is this really important right now? Or could this wait? Could I do this later? It's such a small shift, you know, but it sends a powerful message to yourself first before someone else that I am not stepping back. I'm stepping up with intention to make myself a part of the decision making. And again, I love bringing in research into whatever work I do. So this fact as well is backed by research. There's been a study by the Harvard Business Review, which talks about how professionals who set boundaries and communicate them clearly are actually perceived as more reliable and emotionally intelligent because they're modeling sustainability and not just self-sacrifice.
I love that. I want to come across as more emotionally intelligent by saying no to my boss. But there is absolute truth to that. I think we are shifting into a day and age where we have to be more emotionally intelligent at work, and that gets appreciated. It didn't always used to be like that. You maybe came across as soft or bitchy or annoying or like whatever when you try to set boundaries or ask for things to be more accommodating. But oh, yeah. I think nowadays we are having a lot of more modern businesses that build those business models or are led by people who actually don't want to burn out their workforce. So I love that. I would welcome a lot more emotional intelligence in the workplace. I think that's definitely the future. But I also picked up on your metaphor that boundaries aren't barriers, but clarity. I love that. Because I think boundaries always feel so rigid. It feels like something negative. We wall ourselves off. We don't want to let anyone through. But I think it's really true what you're saying. We shouldn't think of them as something that isolates us. It's more something to think of like a boundary protects us and helps us see more clearly. And in my course, I use a similar metaphor for boundaries. I'm saying boundaries aren't walls, but filters, because they help us sift through the options and find the one that aligns best with our values. So it's more like it's not that wall we build up to not see anyone anymore and kind of fence ourselves off, but it's more like a filter where all these demands and things around us fall into, and that what comes out in the bottom out of that filter is what is in alignment with us. All the rest gets stuck in Nirvana somewhere. So, you know, that's the metaphor I'm going with. But I love the clarity that comes out of it, that comes out of the filter, basically.
I love that. And if you could see how Catherine's describing it, using her hands and showing me the filter, you would love that.
We will have to switch to video podcast soon so everyone can benefit from my hands.
Yeah, animated descriptions.
I know. So now, as a final segment, we are getting into my favorite category, which is the mini boost of the week. And this week, it's all about, you guessed it, reducing our overwhelm. So we want to give you a mini boost of creating boundaries and creating a habit to check in on your boundaries. In this little quick exercise that we want to introduce to you now, we will do a quick 3-minute check-in that you can do each week or as often as you want. So let's get into it. Take 3 minutes today to ask yourself this. First, where did I say yes this week when I actually meant no? Second question, what is one small boundary I can set or reinforce in the next few days at work, at home, or with myself? Reinforcing means really reintroducing it, bringing it up again, making it clear again, communicating it. And the third question is, what do I need more of this week? Do I need more rest, more focus, more space, more support maybe? What do I need more of this week? And can I then communicate that as a boundary, as a request to people around me?
Wow. As you were asking those questions, my mind was trying to answer them. And the answer to the first question you asked, where did I say yes this week? Pretty much all the meetings at work.
It's like sitting there nodding. And exactly.
Yeah. You know, like this could have been an email. We didn't need a meeting for this. So no, thank you. Yeah. And always need more rest. Because that's what we're discussing, right? Burning out. I love these questions. I definitely will set some more time to go into it a little bit deeper when I'm journaling tonight. So yeah, as Kathy said, set a tiny intention based on your answers. They're doors to the life you actually want to live. So now that we've said they're filter, they're doors, like you have quite a few metaphors that to work with.
Pick one that works for you.
Yeah, I hope this hits home. And that is a wrap. Thanks for hanging out with us on Coach Me. Got a question or something you want us to coach through? Slide into our DMs or drop us a message. We might feature it on the next episode.
And hey, don't forget to hit follow. Your future self will thank you. Just one more quick note. Everything we share here is based on our own experiences and coaching tools. It's not medical or mental health advice. So if you're struggling or need support, please reach out to a qualified professional. You've got this and we've got you. See you next time on Coach Me. That's it.